This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Wednesday, October 8th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning. I'm Jeff Daly. Here's today's headlines. Williams Act bill rejected. Trump offers alternatives to USMCA rewrite and WIC getting funding extension. Newsom shoots down protections for Williamson Act taxes. Governor Gavin Newsom has rejected a measure proposing to prevent developers from dipping into agricultural taxes. SB 5 would keep property taxes from Williamson Act and Farmland Security Zone parcels out of special districts designed to finance infrastructure projects. Farm groups and environmental interests promoted the bill as closing a loophole that was encouraging speculative sprawl. Home builders countered that the move could complicate long-term planning in fast-growing communities. Newsom sided with local governments, arguing they already have the full authority to bar special districts from conservation lands. A state intervention like this, he reasoned in his veto statement, would inappropriately set limits on those jurisdictions. Greater transparency for groundwater agencies. In an effort to strengthen public trust and accountability in water governance, lawmakers have advanced, and Newsom has signed, AB 293 to impose new financial disclosure requirements on groundwater sustainability agencies. Under the bill, each GSA's website must link to disclosure statements for its board members and executives. Since GSAs fall under the Sigma framework, the officials already file statements with California's Fair Political Practices Commission. AB 293 adds a public-facing transparency requirement, bringing GSAs in line with other public bodies mandated to openly present potential conflicts of interest. Proponents argued that allows stakeholders to better monitor decisions affecting groundwater management. Local water districts warned of adding more costs for smaller GSAs and creating yet another disincentive to serving on a GSA board. Also signed, Newsom added his ink to a bill permanently extending California's protections for migratory non-game birds. By removing a sunset clause in existing law, AB 454 ensures the state continues to prohibit the taking or possession of migratory birds independent of federal rollbacks. Several conservation groups back the bill, the only opposition from Assembly Republicans. In a 2019, the author, Assemblymember Ash Clara of San Jose, created the California Migratory Bird Protection Act in response to the first Trump administration's rollback of federal regulations. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders, tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Trump leaves the door open to alternate USMCA arrangements. President Donald Trump says the U.S., Canada, and Mexico could renegotiate the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement, also known as USMCA, or do different deals. Speaking to reporters in the Oval Office with visiting Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney, Trump reiterated his trade concerns with Canada, including high out-of-quota dairy tariffs. Canada was charged very high tariffs on our agriculture things, Trump said. USMCA is up for review this year when the three nations will decide whether to extend the deal, reform it, or let it expire. Trump said, quote, we can renegotiate it, and that would be good, or we could just do different deals. We might make deals that are better for the individual countries. Both the U.S. and Canada agreed to continue trade and tariff discussions, Canadian Minister Dominic LeBlanc said after the meetings yesterday between U.S. and Canadian officials. Efforts will be focused to, quote, quickly land deals on existing steel, aluminum, and energy tariffs, he noted. Now take note, U.S. Trade Representative Jameson Greer said last week that he expects one-on-one conversations will form a significant part of USMCA review talks. The U.S.-Canada relationship is so different from the U.S.-Mexico relationship in so many ways, he said at the Economic Club in New York. WIC getting funding extension. The White House is using tariff revenue to keep the Women, Infants, and Children Food Assistance Program, or WIC, from running out of money due to the government shutdown. The Democrats are so cruel in their continual votes to shut down the government that they force the WIC program for the most vulnerable women and children to run out this week, White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt said in a post on X yesterday. Thankfully, President Trump and the White House have identified a creative solution to transfer resources from Section 232 tariff revenue to this critical program. Georgia Michelle, National WIC Association President and CEO, welcoming the new funding, but said families need long-term stability, not short-term uncertainty. We still don't know how much funding this measure provides, how quickly states receive it, or how long it will sustain operations. Administration signals it may not pay furloughed workers. Furloughed federal workers are not automatically entitled to back pay when the government reopens, the Office of Management and Budget's top lawyer said yesterday. In a memo reported by numerous news outlets and made available by the Washington Post, OMB General Counsel Mark Pallotta said, according to the 2019 law, any funding bill ending a shutdown must specify that furloughed workers get back pay. The government does not include obligations for furloughed employee salaries because they are not performing services for the government while furloughed, Pallotta said in the memo. About 750,000 federal workers are furloughed, including approximately 42,000 employees at USDA, about half of the department's workforce. Free Trade Group. Use targeted tariff relief to ease input prices. In the wake of Secretary Rollins' announcement of a joint USDA Justice Department effort to scrutinize farm input costs, a farm trade group is asking why officials won't look at their own tariff policy. Ron Kuhl, executive director of Farmers for Free Trade, said yesterday that the trade conflicts of the Trump first term help raise input costs and that new tariffs will do the same. Any effort to lower costs for farmers, he argued, should include targeted tariff reductions for farmers. We should definitely be looking to reduce tariffs on farm inputs, Kuhl said, including fertilizer, farm equipment and parts, and steel and aluminum products. Grain bins or cattle guards or fencing, all those are steel and aluminum-intensive products, he added. Farmers for Free Trade event in Michigan was part of a 14-state, 2,500-mile tour across the U.S. to host discussions on trade agreements and opportunities. The motorcade of trade will end in Washington, D.C. in November. Here's today's final word. This notion that if we just deal with short-term pain, we'll have long-term gain. I think it's fundamentally flawed. If we don't do this right, we can lose markets forever, and we can find ourselves in a much weakened competitive position, and there's not a long-term gain. That Ryan Kuhl, executive director at Farmers for Free Trade, on Trump's agricultural trade policy. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, October 8th. Brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Daly.